it's weird when you come up, when I'm coming off of Love and Hip Hop, because I'm so used to doing two of them.
Yeah. So
I almost wanted to introduce this, like, oh, welcome back, blah, blah, blah. But let me pull up my notes for Equal Opposites episode 486. I don't know what it is about this year, but I don't, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, am I working more? Which I'm not really, like, or working harder, I should say. Is it me doing something different with my lifestyle? But this past couple of months, I really be looking forward to the weekend. And I don't be doing nothing, but I just like, just a break. Just like something slight. And I have no idea what is causing this. Like yesterday was Wednesday. I worked 13 hours. So that was a little extra time. Came home, made dinner, you know, stayed up a couple of hours, fell asleep, woke up again this morning, like at 7 a.m, something like that. Was up early. And so I'm not tired. Maybe I'm just tired of working. Like I was like, I'm not tired of like just life or anything. Cause I have energy, but I was like, maybe I think something different, which is, it could happen. I could just do something different. But how's your week been going?
How has my week been going? It's been all right. Nothing special. Nothing exciting has happened. Sadly.
So that's your goal? Like, you want something exciting to happen constantly?
I always want something interesting to happen.
a roller coaster of emotions. Saturday. This was a good surprise for me. I think I learned it on Thursday or Wednesday of last week. One of the animes I watched had a movie releasing. I had completely forgot. It was in my app that I use to track movies and TV shows and books and stuff that I read or I'm looking forward to. And it came out last Friday. And I told Sarah, I was like, yo, I'm finna go to the movies. Because usually when anime movies come out, they don't be at every theater, like certain theaters. But luckily, this one was right across the street from me. I thought playing at the theater. So I get there, right? And I didn't think anything big of it. I thought to myself, probably be the only person in there, but it's whatever. You know, I'll give me some popcorn. I snuck me in a little bottle of my little strawberry lemonade because I wasn't paying for no drink. But when I pulled up, there was two girls taking pictures outside of the movie theater next to like the poster. I was like, it's not the marquee. And this is a part of life I've been in right now where my first thought used to be, what are y'all goofies doing? Now my thought is, oh, this is going to be a memory for y'all. Y'all going to get like, because you could tell they were like 13 or 14 or something like that. They were young. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, y'all going to be like in y'all 30s. Like, girl, remember that time we took a picture outside the movie theater? Like, what were we thinking about? Blah, blah. So I get into the movie theater, get my popcorn. I go and sit. I kid y'all not. I sat there. And when I got into the movie theater, the screen was black. But you can hear the sound. So you can hear like, here's your movie trivia and blah, 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 and all the commercials. And I said, am I in the wrong? What is going on?
Right.
Because I'm in there by myself. So I'm eating my little popcorn or whatever. And maybe like 2 or 3 minutes before the movie about to start, I get up and I look back. And there was somebody at the top. It was the two girls who took the pictures. I was like, okay, so they in here. I'm in the right theater. And then the movie started. And I think like two more people came in. Y'all don't care about anime like that. I enjoy Spy Family, Code White. I enjoy the movie, fun time. My gripe was, hey, y'all all live around here. How come we don't got no anime club? We could be just like talking about this together. What are we doing here? And nobody chimed in and say, hey, what, you watch this too? Who's your favorite character? Nothing. That was Saturday. Anything? Because I think what I want to talk about is this next month coming up.
Okay, what's happening in May?
Oh my goodness. If you guys have been a listener, and I hate when people start off like this, because of course you already know. May has always been a tough
month. It's gonna be May.
Yeah. It's been a tough month because I have Mother's Day, obviously. My wife's birthday is in May, and I'm in year two of year three of graduations. So Melissa's graduating this year. Last year, Brielle. Hopefully next year is Carmelo. On top of that, my aunt sent out an invitation to her 75th birthday, which is May 11th, the day before
Mother's Day.
Yes, right. And then, and I don't know if I told this story, I probably have, but when my friend was leaving to the Philippines last September, we all got together. We was hanging out. And my kid's godmother, Danielle, and her fiance, Ashley, who's it's a guy, just to point that out, came over and they brought their youngest baby, Ezra, who at this time, because he's turning one next month. At, so September, do the math. So I don't know, he's like 4 or 5 months old because he's born in May. So this is one of the best babies I've ever been around. And I've been a lot around a lot of babies, but he lets you hold him. He does do all this, right? Long story short, Sarah fell in love and she was holding him and cuddling him. And Danielle said, I think Sarah wants to be the godmom. What you think about that? And I said, no, I have enough guy kids.
I can just because she the godmom don't automatically make you the godfather. Listen,
I said, I have enough guy kids. And the ones that, because it's Brielle and Carmelo, and I said, and the ones who aren't mine are mine, which is China and Amari. I kid y'all not, after I said that, 2 months later, I get an email from China for some school function. The email started off with, hey, God Dad. I'm like, when did I become your God Dad? So I asked my brother. I said, yo, did China write you an email? Oh, I got it, but she didn't start off like that. So, of course, I donated or whatever. And then, what was it? A couple of weeks ago, Danielle hits us up. Hey, Ezra's birthday's coming up. We want the godparents to come. Oh, see? I'm already in there. They already just wrote me in. I'm like, wait, what? So listen, this is how bad it was. She's like, we want the godparents to stop by on Monday for about, oh, that one is like stop by to see him and all this. And I said, when is his birthday? She's like, May 6th. I was like, all right, cool. I'll let Sarah know and everything.
Oh, so, that's my god birthday.
Okay. I was happy because I was like, I'm February 6th. Look at that. We got something in common. But look, I don't know why they did it, but they did it. Their first two kids are Aquarius. Their last three kids are little baby bulls. They're all Tauruses. So, like, I think one is, like, the last week of April, and the other two are, like, the first week of May. So, when I go over there and I ask...
So, they be bumping and grinding around the same time when they had these kids.
Yes. I asked, like, yo, what size is he and all this? So I'm going to get them something. And then I told Sarah, like, I'm going to just give China and Amari some money. Amari's like five. I'll give her $10. I'll blow her a little mind. I'll give, like, China, like, 20-something like that. So that is that. Like, that's May. So then, let's see. Is that all of May? Because then we got birthdays, two graduations. Because Sarah, even though she's not going to her graduation, she officially graduates. Which, you know, it's a weird thing. Well, I guess not. That works in real life, right? If you graduate from high school early, can you... Wait, how does that work? I'm trying to think now. What I mean
can
is...
Can you walk across the stage?
No, not that part. Sarah's already a nurse because she got the license, took the test.
Yeah.
I was like, if I had finished high school early and jobs that required a high school, what's the name? What I do, show y'all my transcripts? Because I can't show you my diploma and there's right. No license for high school, so... That's what I was thinking. I was like, how would that go? But yeah, I'm prepared. I'm ready for May. Plus, school will be done. Speaking of school, golly, yesterday was hell. So I filled in for the head custodian. I get there. He already let me know, like, yo, who does the scheduling at school? Y'all know school is almost over. Why y'all scheduling a concert? So I got to break out these risers that are heavy as hell early in the morning. It was cool because he said, yo, you could do that before school starts. Bet. Do that. Then they end up sending me, they sent me a substitute because somebody had to come in for lunch to help out. Because we do, for some reason, they think it's a good idea to have all the kids eat at the same time. So they get lunch done over in 1 hour. Basically, from 11:20, they're done by 12:30. So an hour and 10.
Okay.
All the grades. But when you get a substitute, they're not used to that. So that you always got to explain, like, we got to pull out all the tables and all this. I'm working with this dude. Y'all understand, I am me. I am cool. I'm like, hey, you need help, blah, blah. This guy has worked with me before. He came in here. He's like, yo, how you doing, buddy? Good. He's like, I'll bang you or something. Yo, why we give Thailand this much? Why we give Israel this much? Why we give the... I said, fam, I don't know. Why are we talking politics right now? What are we doing?
Why are we talking politics?
I was right like, now? Man, you see they banned TikTok? Like, can we get to something light? What are we doing here? Anyway, this guy couldn't help me with the risers because he had a bad back. He loses his glasses, which causes him to go into the woman's bathroom.
And he's blind. Okay.
He going to the woman's bathroom and the worst teacher found him in there. She's like, there's a man in there. But I'm like, what's going on? So he come out and tell me like, yo, I didn't know, blah, blah, blah. Teacher at the end of the day came and saw, said, yo, there was a man in there. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm sorry about that. He peed on the toilet seat. I was like, well, you're telling me at the end of school now, but you could have came
and also, you grown man, pull up the toilet.
I don't get it. And then on top of that, after lunch got done, we had to do a living museum where these kids dress up as historical figures and stand up. We had to do that setup. And then after that, scouts came in. It was a busy ass day yesterday.
I was going to say, this sounds real hectic.
It was. It was. Let's get into life, though. Amanda Seales is making the news.
In a positive way, finally.
I think so. I have seen clips of this.
I've watched the majority of it.
This Club Shay Shay. So what did you think? Was there any, before we get to the big part, was there anything else that stuck out? Because I saw the clip. The big part is Issa Rae. I saw the clip about her. I read her being bullied as a child. And Shannon tried to shoot them some bail. She was like, so what about the women, the kid, Ruby Bridges?
It was her face during that. But like, Miss Amanda, listen now. I will say this. I've always been an Amanda Seales fan. I do like Amanda Seales. I have never personally met Amanda Seales. From the stuff that I have seen on the, you know, on the interwebs, she stands 10 toes down in everything that she do and she say. And I do think that rubs people the wrong way. I've always said, like, I like Amanda. But I do feel like you don't get to see the fun side of her very often. You see it, but I always feel like we will hang out and somebody will bring up a topic and then I feel like the topic will go deep for no reason. Like, and that's not even saying like anything bad. That's just how I, you know, that's how I see her. But this interview, I enjoyed for the most part. I'm not sure how much of it I'm missing because I didn't realize it was a premiere on YouTube. So I just thought the video was up. So I clicked on it when it was a premiere. So I seen whatever part to like the end. And then I came back like all my fitness watching it. And then I was like, oh shit, this is 3 hours. Yeah. I don't remember sitting here. I mean, I sat for quite some time though, watching it. And then I went back and watched maybe the first hour. And so I think maybe I'm missing like a 30-minute gap, maybe. And I don't know. But all in all, I thought it was a good one. When I saw that she was going to be on there, I was kind of like, oh, how is this going to go? Does she have a lot to say, or is she airing, you know, a lot, spilling tea? Because I feel like everybody go on Club Shay Shay to spill tea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is tea and laundry the only time people gossip that we use, like, in, like, because you could air dirty laundry because you when y'all hung up the clothes, well, not y'all, but back in the day, and then you sip tea, but we don't have it. There's no other. I mean, you gossip probably around the water cooler, but that wasn't, you don't use that term. No. That never came out. You just like, it's more for TV shows. Like, you talk about the TV show at the water cooler at the office.
Yeah.
But no, okay, just tea and laundry. So this Issa Rae thing. She says, so I've never talked about this publicly because it has always been incredibly important to me to protect Issa. However, there's just been enough instances at this point where I should have been protected by Issa and I wasn't. And this was referring to the Emmy party from Jesse Williams, where she got kicked out of it. Now, at this point where I'm protecting, now it's at a point where my protecting of Issa has become turned on to me and something that people are using against me. So they were saying like that she's a mean girl. She's like, how could I be the mean girl on set when she could have fired me? And she blamed like her publicist, right? There was like Issa Rae publicist who had issues with Amanda. I said to Issa, I don't know what's going on with your publicist, but she got something wrong. She got a problem with me. And she was like, that's between y'all. And I said, well, it's not really between y'all because I don't have a problem with her.
Just,
There was one part. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the thing about it is, I believe Amanda, and I love Issa Rae, so this is not saying, but, like, that gives me Issa Rae, like, girl, I ain't got shit to do with that, that's up to you, like, I can see that being her response.
Yeah, I could too, like, when she's like, I got a call from Issa, and she called me and said, hey, I heard what happened this weekend, I just want you to know, I have nothing to do with it. It's like when we just got done talking about Love and Hip Hop with Alexis Sky telling the friend, be cool. It felt like Issa could have told his publicist, like, what is
be
your
cool,
beef with this?
Chill out.
I still got to work with this person. Why are you making things hot? Like, shoot. And if you feel some type of way, and I'm not peaches and cream on, or too keen, I should say, on Amanda, we don't got to do another show together. And it was another thing she brought up, like, she did something for Issa Rae, and Issa Rae didn't promote it. She's like, how come
she said she had did a TV show on her and it was on like on her YouTube, I think. And she, I guess, didn't get the, I guess people thought it was Issa Rae stuff because it was on Issa Rae's channel, but it was really Amanda's. And she felt like, I guess, Issa Neville was like, oh, yeah, this is Amanda's thing.
Yeah. And then she also said she was recently diagnosed as someone who has autism spectrum disorder.
Oh Lord, Club Shay Shay, Shannon. She literally led with, I recently got diagnosed with. My man's was like, clinically, were you diagnosed? I just told you.
Yeah, who else could do diagnosis outside of a clinic? You can't do that. Yeah.
It was the you telling me that I didn't experience racism in my life. That was really it, and that was the start of the interview. I'm sorry, that's the first 20 minutes. I was like, this shit gonna be long. It's really what I was thinking. I got both sides. However, I'm gonna lean more on her side because she was right, because that was her experience. I get him being like, oh, but do you think, I think it was maybe the way he worded it. I don't know. I get him being like, oh, well, could it have just been this? And the answer is still no, because Shorty was just racist. But I get where, I guess I kind of get where he was trying to say. I just don't think he was right.
Yeah. You talking about with the kid being racist to her?
Yeah, when he was like, well, do you think the teacher was just upset because it was a kid checking her in general? Not necessarily that it was a black girl checking, but just a kid, because we was back in the day, it's always been like, kids don't, you know, do that. You don't talk back to the parents, you stay in your place, da, 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 da. Yeah. And I'm like, I see what you're saying, but no. But no.
Was it, what was, oh, when she talked about being racist, experiencing racism from the kids, in that one part, when he tried to say, but they children, I like the fact that she was like, I'm here to tell you how I felt and what I experienced. Like, I'm not trying to, like, you know, in defense of them. I'm telling you how I felt. That's it.
But also, like, racism is a learned, like a learned thing, right? So your kids can be racist. Like, they were taught to be racist.
Yeah, you taught them. There was one part about the tap dancing, which I thought that was funny. Did you see that part when she did that? When she was like, I was, she had this email corresponding, and they said they asked me yes or no questions. I answered yes, no,
or no,
yes, no. And then at the end of it, they were on some like, oh, we're going to go in a different direction. And he was like, oh, because you didn't. And she started doing like the little
tap dance, performance.
I really wish he was built to ask Amanda, would she have done the same thing? And is it any different in the dating scene? Meaning if she was dating some man and she's like, do you like where things are going? Yep. Do you think we should change anything? Nope. Like, wouldn't you stop talking to that man? Like, she probably like, yeah, because he's not adding anything to it. But she might say, well, I'm in a relationship with this person. These people want me to be in a relationship with them. I don't know, because I get what she was saying with doing tap dancing, but sometimes, I don't know, is it tap dancing? Because sometimes I do things like that. Like as far as like, if they like, yo, could you work for us, Tasha? I'm like, oh yeah, sure. That's cool. I don't just say yeah or no. I'll put something else on it. But
I don't think that is necessarily tap dancing. I think that, like you saying that, like, yeah, that's cool, I could do that. I don't think that's, you know, tap dancing per se.
But maybe it's like, I would love to do this.
Yeah, I think that's the, you didn't give them, like, you, I don't know what these people asked her, but I guess it maybe came off that you weren't exactly excited to do whatever they were trying to get you to do. It's not like you was like, oh my God, this is great. Thank you for this. Like, you know.
Amanda Seals is going to be in the Black Twitter doc. Did you see the trailer for that?
I did, and I was like, whoa, we just got little docu-series and mentories of everything.
Yeah, we just had the Freaknik one, and now Hulu's doing the A People's History of Black Twitter, which is going to be out May 9th.
May 9th, yep.
Directed by Insecure showrunner Princess Penny, and based on Jason Parham's Wired article of the same name. I'm interested in this.
I am too.
I feel like this should have been, if this was back in the day, which is weird to say, right? Because you can't have social media, but back in the day. But if for some reason there was a social media outlet in the 90s, this would be a 3-night event. I feel like this is like, because Twitter is so huge and there were so many different generations of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought up Twitter after dark, obviously. I was like, oh yeah, that was a moment. But I hope they get into not just those specific black hashtags, but also the universal ones like Follow Friday or Music Mondays. Like, what were we, because we, that era when Twitter was taking off, that's the era when Drake, Kendrick, Cole, Sean, Big Sean, and well, they were taking off too. So your Music Mondays, we could be talking about, oh, when Kendrick and Gunplay did cartoons and cereal, but it could be so much. I wonder.
Well, I guess we're just gonna have to wait and see. But I was like, oh, this is so random. I'm excited to see what these hashtags were at the time, and you know, are y'all screenshotting stuff? Like, how do you even think to do? Have y'all been working on this the whole time? Like, do y'all have?
Yeah, like, I was like, that's why I'm like, yo, it gets really deep. I did enjoy when people they had the speakers, the guests, or whatever, who chiming in, commentators talk about their online journey. And you got Black Planet, MySpace. Yeah. And I was like, I would love to get a Black Planet.
Can you go to Black Planet now? Like, does this webpage still exist?
I don't know. But
what do people use it for? I mean, because you can still like go to MySpace, right? Like, what do people use
Fox
it for
that.
Now?
BlackPlanet.com says, the world is yours. Join Black Planet today. Here's the wild part about it. So they have these headlines: defining ourselves, our moment, our world. Black people are the stars. And the one says, why reboot Black Planet now? And I'm like, but when is now? I haven't been to this website. So how long has this been up?
How long ago was now?
They got an app and everything.
Why do I need an app?
Cause everybody got to have an app. You can log in and sign up or whatever. I wish I could find my old Black Planet page and be like, what was I putting on there?
I remember my Black Planet page vividly, okay? I know it was black and blue. And I had maybe stars, I think, that was falling from the little, you know, the top of the page. And I was very big on trying to learn that code and shit. I ain't gonna hold you. And I remember that my page had the song that it was when you came on was Gator Boo. Gucci. That was my song. That was it. That's really all I remember. But like, I see the page in my head.
Yeah. That's what really, we don't talk about how Facebook changed all of our career trajectories, because between Black Planet and MySpace, we were learning coding. We learned HTML.
We was
HTML.
Learning coding, okay?
He was like, no, you didn't close it. You got to put the slash, arrow, close. The other arrow,
and
close.
When I learned it, then when we got to MySpace and they had like the pre-pages made where you can like go get the code.
Oh, yes.
When I started learning what the stuff meant, though, and I was like, oh, I can change the color. Mm-hmm. If I just move this F and turn it to a P, what color we got?
Yeah, then you're looking up hex codes and be like, oh, okay, you knew exactly how to do this. And that's why you started admiring people's pages. Like, look what the hell.
You did all of this?
Yes. And then obviously there was those people who had those pages. It was just too much. It was slowing your computer down. Like, fam, I can't even load your page up. We are not about to do this.
You know what I tried to get into? It was not very successful. Tumblr. I just didn't get it.
I tried it too. It was weird. I don't know. I never clicked with it. I would say that. I did not click with Tumblr. I thought it was cool. It looked cool. But I was like, so as these individual pages, everybody's website? Because we're not all here. You know, you could just... But yeah, Tumblr. The Tumblr's still going strong. I mean, they still got a thing.
Is it now?
Yeah. What did you think about Beyonce's inches? She was showing y'all her real hair. And she got a wash, right? That's what she did on her little...
She had a little wash, condition, oil treat. She, first of all, go ahead, hair. It looks amazing. I am a bit confused by the world and how y'all found a problem with every single thing. Like, Beyonce, first of all, y'all was like, how Beyonce gonna come out with a hairline? I mean, with a hair care line. She always wearing wigs. She don't do this. We ain't even seen her hair. Mama said, okay, I'm gonna show y'all my hair.
Yeah.
So here's my hair. I haven't had no perms in I don't know how long. I take good care of it. This is it. Then it was like, oh my God, Beyonce, beautiful hair. Then it's the haters. That's a wig. You can see the left. Why they not washing from the top of her head? What is wrong? First of all, Beyonce has had hair since we've seen Beyonce. Let's not act like we ain't seen child high school pictures of Beyonce. She's always had hair. Yes? Her mother is a hair woman, right?
Yes.
She had a salon along with her making the fashions. Obviously, she know a little bit of thing about hair. You think this girl know how to take care of her hair? She has been in this game for so long. So long.
Yeah, you would think. So
I hate people.
As a guy who doesn't know about women hair like that, so she doesn't do a perm, she get a flat iron? Is that what happens? As why is...
No, she said she tried to stay away from heat as much as possible.
Okay.
I don't know if she said she get a silk. I don't really remember which one she said she did. But
I was like, how do you straighten it? Like, how does it do this? Because I know how black people our hair is textured. That it usually crinkles.
I mean, you have to add some heat to straighten it, right? Even if it's like a solid blow dry or whatever, you got to. But she just probably don't do it often.
Yeah, because I know she said like, oh, I stay away from perms, but she do highlights. And that kind of, you know what? I'll say this, because there was, what was it? It was one of the premieres where the blonde didn't work. But this, I was like, oh, this blonde accents you well. Because some people, I don't know if they notice they look washed out, or they're just like, this is what I was going for. Maybe, you know, I might be in the category where like, I don't like the washed out look on men or women, but they'll be like, yo, that shit hot. You look like all one color. So I'm like, all right, whatever. And then the other story that caught my eye this week about celebrities was Usher's son. Did you see this story about Usher's son stealing his phone to shoot his shot with Pink Panthers? And let me see. All right. So Usher revealed his son, Navid, 15, stole his phone to message his favorite singer, and he ended up meeting her or whatever. But I said, I mean, this website is so trash.
I mean, let me tell you why I never thought about that. Because in my head, I'm like, you're just going to meet all the celebrities anyway, because you know they're your daddy friend.
Yeah.
But how you know that number even in his phone?
No. So he stole his phone to DM Pink Panthers.
That's what he did. Okay.
So he goes, Usher says, so a week ago, my son, Navid, stole my phone so he could DM his favorite artist, Pink Panthers. Now, I just happened to check my DMs earlier this past week and saw a message exchange from someone with a Powerpuff Girl as their profile pic. So I'm like, the hell is this? I open it and I'm like, oh, this boy done DM'd this girl from my damn phone. So Usher actually provided the screenshot of the conversation. And it started with Navid sharing Pink Panther's song Do You Miss Me. Now here's the thing.
Did he leave with it like, hey, my name is such and such, I'm Usher's son? Like, how we get here?
So
otherwise, did this girl think it was Usher talking to her?
Might have. She said, do you miss me on Usher's story, then swiftly slid into her DMs proclaiming he was her biggest fan and asking for a follow back. Pink Panther's reply, which made Navid freak out, and Usher had to intervene. He said, Usher came in and said, I'm sorry, my son is a super fan. Here's the thing too, though. You're right about that. This one made me think, because I wanted to come here and say, hey, if we were, well, at the time you were 15 and you had access to a famous friend's phone, who would you have DM'd? And then if we don't have to have anybody in mind, my thought was, I'd have been so nervous getting my dad in trouble. Like, it looked like I'm trying to holler at you. Like,
you trying to holler at the DN? That's why I was like, did she think it was Usher? Who would I have DN? Who would I hit up at 15?
Oh, okay. 15? Yeah. He did say, hello, this is Usher's son, Naveed. He did start off with that. 15, 1997 for me. Who was hot? Who on Twitter? Tatiana M. Ali. I would have tried to holler at, see what she was up to. Oh, Bianca Lawson. Like, if I, those are just actors. Music wise, maybe Aaliyah. I would have tried to shoot my shot. I'm trying to think around 19. I should pull up 1997 R&B chicks. Cause
I was sitting here thinking the same thing, like 2000 and.
Because obviously I liked rap, but I wasn't thinking about Foxy Brown or Lil Kim or the Brat like that. Like, I want them to be my little girlfriend. I wasn't even thinking nothing like that. Maybe, you know what, LaToya Luckett, because wasn't Beyonce about, I mean, no, was it 97 or 90? Writers on the Wall was before that. So it would have been LaToya Luckett if I was going to try to talk to somebody out of Destiny Child.
I am really sitting here like, who would it have been for me?
Who would have like, I'm your biggest fan. Follow me back. Monica, For You I Will was on the charts. Not Tonight, Lil Kim. Because I was like, Left Eye was cute. Not, yeah, Left Eye was cute, but it was two different. She ain't talking to my 15-year-olds. I'm trying to get somebody close. Like, oh yeah, I'll holler at you. 702 was on the charts back then. Oh, I said, I'm only doing me. Drew Hill's on the charts. 112 is on the charts back there too. Next is on the chart. I'm looking at Butter Love at number 42. Allure. There were some cuties there, but I had no idea.
It might have been Usher. Like, I'm really sitting here like, who am I shooting my shot at?
All right, hold up.
It might have been Usher. When did Moesha go off the air?
Moesha? M to the...
O to the... Mo to the...
Did, no,
2001?
Yeah. 2001,
It might have been Fredro Starr.
But not Romeo? Sterling? What's it? Santana? Sterling Santana?
Merlin.
Merlin Santana. That's what it was. Yeah.
Oh, Haji. possibly. It would have probably also been Shaheen.
Okay.
The Rugged Child.
Maya's on 2000. I would have, yeah. Oh, Maya was around that time too. I would have tried to holler at Maya. Let's see.
Nelly
is around 2000.
I was going to say maybe Nelly.
Country Grammar had just dropped.
Okay, probably Nelly.
Craig David, he was on this chart a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Feel me?
No.
Get you a little a UK bae?
Nope.
Ja Rule, Bow Wow's on the charts around here. Profile is on the charts. Avant is on the charts. D'Angelo's on the charts. Jay Shin? Oh, I forgot about One Night Stand. Yes, that's right. One Night Stand with Latasha Scott of Escape. I forgot about that song. Okay. Casey and JoJo, Morinelli, Pink with There You Go. I bet she'll never do that.
That's a hit too.
She'll never do those songs. But I was like, you was kind of killing this R&B shit. I know that's not what you didn't want
to
do.
That wasn't her thing, but she, shout out to Candy. But I think she was really, no, that's not the song Candy wrote, is it? No, Candy wrote a different Pink song.
Ooh, I can pull up Pink's first album that I'm pretty sure she does not do. It sounds like it's in her bag. It's not a damn song in my head. It's Can't Take Me Home.
There you go. J-Book. J-Book from B2K, because that was Daddy at the time.
Yo, Candy Bird's there right there, you guys.
2003.
There You Go was Candy's Burst.
Oh, okay. Look at me. Okay, nah, J-Book, that was 2003 when B2K came out.
You got idea. And if you want to care, you want to talk to him. Mm-hmm.
And I think I was over immature by that point.
nothing. Shante Moore is way too old for me, but I would have. I like Shante Moore. I had a crush on her. You know who I, you ever tell y'all who I had the biggest crush
Jason
on?
Jason Weaver.
Yeah, that's a good one. I had the biggest crush on Elise Neal. I legitimately, I kid you not, guys.
Okay.
I went to, I remember my freshman year or my sophomore year in high school. We watched an after school special with her, and I thought she was the same age as me because of this. And it was like a girl looking for her real life dad, like daddy won't. And I was like, who the hell is Elise Neal? And I thought she was so pretty. The fact that I follow her on IG and this woman is almost 60 and looks amazing, I was like,
she looks good. She does.
Look at my
good.
Little crush, still looking amazing. But yeah, Elise Neal, they got to be one of my oldest. Like when I'm in high school, obviously Keisha Pulliam Knight, I had a crush on her. So why not? Yes, I would have tried to see where she was at. Because Cosby Show had been off the air by that time. I'd be like, yo, is she on Twitter? Yeah, let me try to talk to her.
When did Barbershop come out?
The movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know who you're looking for. It's around. It's like 2001 or 2002. I went to the movie theater to see that movie. 2002.
Oh, because I'm going to say, babe, because Michael Ealy came on the scene. I'm doing.
All right, that was a nice little distraction. Oh, this
a little randomness.
This Jeezy and Genie divorce don't look like it's gonna be pretty.
Ooh, look like it's, Lord.
Now she's accusing him of being violent and abusive. He's denying this. I was like, golly, can we just not can we not for but just the here's the thing I don't understand. Let's say her accusations are true. Wouldn't it be in Jeezy's best interest to have this be quick and swift? Like, well, that's yes. The same thing. I'm sorry. But like just, hey, she get half, she get, you know, blah, blah, every other weekend for me, whatever she want. Just so shit don't come out.
Let's move along.
And then
let's
here's the other side. If he was abusive, let's say Jeannie is telling the truth, why was he the one filing for divorce?
Why'd you want him back?
Yeah.
That's my question.
You're like, wait, what is going on here? Why did he file for divorce and you didn't? Man, hope the child is cool. Was Monaco? Made it at the little city? That's all. Because this. Whew,
yeah. She the cutest little thing, too, with his whole face.
Yep.
She's so cute.
Yeah. Are you all caught up on X-Men?
Yes.
Okay. They continue to outdo themselves week after week. We don't have to do too much with the previous episode other than Storm got her powers back and Professor Xavier is, I guess, on his way back.
Yeah.
Which I'm confusion about because when Cable showed up before Genosha went to shit, I said to myself, well, this is easy. He's going to just come back at an earlier time and stop this from even happening. After last week's episode with Professor X saying, like, yo, I can't marry you. I got to go save my ex, man. I thought, but what if Cable comes back and fixes things? Do you go back
right.
in? So then we get to this week's episode. And this week's episode was so good. The Gambit funeral. Shout out to Nightcrawler for being a devote. It's Nightcrawler and it's, from what I know, Daredevil are the two like most devout Catholics in the Marvel universe. He held it down with that. There's so many good quotes in this show that I'd be wanting to watch him over and over. Like how his sin, he's a gambler and his honesty. I watched it yesterday, y'all. So I apologize. I should have watched it again to get that together. But the way he put that together was amazing. Rogue going rogue. Was amazing.
Yeah, I was like, Rogue is not playing with y'all.
Man, she got
y'all that killed her man.
I like
both of them.
Yes, I like this version of Captain America because this is not the MCU version. This is what comic book people have said. Like, oh, this is what Captain America is. He's a top cop. He does everything by the book. She's like, well, fine. You ain't gonna need this then. Toss your damn shield out the window. It seems like. So Jean Grey and Cyclops have come to some understanding about Madeline. And she was like, yo, I almost thought I had a sister. It would be weird, though, from my perspective, if I got cloned, and now I got to look at this dude as my brother. I'm like, I ain't grow up with you. I have a brother. I mean, yeah. I know Jean Grey might not have a sister, but it's like, it's weird. I'm like, you just another dude that look like me out there in the world.
I'm going to need you to be gone. We got to get rid of this one, because what? Put her back in the crate.
To the point where Cyclops got excited, anxious that they might have found another telepath, but it was Emma Frost, who is another one of his love interests. Not in this universe, obviously, but him and Emma in another timeline have a lot of kids together. I went through that summer's tree, which is crazy. Sunspot coming out to his mom was, I mean, it was brave that he did it, but then the mom was like, yo, can you keep the gayness down? That's basically what she was doing. Like, we can't let people know that you're a mutant, you know. You gotta just, you know, shh.
Oh, did you say the gayness?
Yeah, because it comes out as a metaphor for, you know, racism, homosexuality. That's why basically what she was telling him. Can we, before we get into the big bad of this universe, or this storyline, this arc, do you understand Morph's powers? Because I'd be confused every week. First of all, when they got into that fight, I said, when did Quicksilver get here? And I was like, oh shit, that's Morph. I was like, what is going on? But it seems as if he could just take any form, and then you got the powers automatically?
Yeah.
Is it temporary? Because isn't he just the best person ever? Is it only mutants? Can he not turn into Spider-Man? Like, what is going on? Like, how does this work? I really wanted an explainer on Morph's powers. And once again, before we get to the big bad, this show is so good that I don't care that Wolverine's not the main focus, who was one of my favorites as a kid. But I'm like, yo, it's a lot going on. And there are a ton of mutants in this universe that I'm excited to see.
Yeah, it's like they give me so much of the other people. And yeah. I'm like, you're right. It ain't much Wolverine.
Yeah, but he's still cool. But Wolverine was Wolverine when Rogue killed Trask, I think. And he was like, she did what we all want to do. And when she did it, I said, yo.
I was like, y'all killing everybody on this show. What in the hell?
So Bastion, who I'm not familiar with, because I think he came later. I'm familiar with the Sentinels, and I'm familiar with Nimrod, which is like an advanced Sentinel. But this guy is even more advanced. And he's the one.
Who the hell is this?
Yes. He's putting, what's her dude name? Mr. Sinister in his place. He's got Magneto locked up, which I kind of figured Magneto wasn't dead after last week's episode when Professor X felt Gambit leave, but he didn't feel
Magneto. You feel Magneto, yeah.
But he seems creepy. And I forgot, there was another part in there that was kind of dope too that has me worried for this universe, as far as, I don't know if it was Bastion or somebody else who knows that Professor X is still alive. And what's that going to do for mutant and human relations? Because it's like, oh, so you lied. Y'all knew he was alive, and now y'all trying to get all sympathy. And you're like,
That's what I said. To me and my homegirl was watching. I said, so what's going to happen when X just pop up? Like, hey, yo, what up, y'all? I ain't really died. Just left y'all thinking that I was dead. All right, I'm back. Like, what is this conversation going to look like? Don't make me mourn you.
Yep. And then that's it for that. I thought it was another solid episode. We got three left. And I did watch the Deadpool trailer, which I'm excited about that.
The trailer, which looked good. You know what I watched? Baby Reindeer on Netflix.
What is Baby Reindeer?
Child.
I seen it. I saw it somewhere earlier today. And they was like, and it was with a celebrity, and I was like, what the fuck is Baby Reindeer? And thought nothing of it. But
so I watched it because somebody on TikTok was talking about it. And not like telling you the story, but they was like, if y'all ain't watched it, y'all need to go watch it. And then I forgot about it, and I get on Netflix, and it was like number one. And I was like, oh shit, I heard somebody talking about this. Baby Reindeer is based off a true story. So true of a story that the main character in the movie is played by the actual character, the real person in real life.
Yeah, I see this. I'm looking at it now. Go ahead.
This person, the story is about them being stalked for 2 years by this woman that he met at the bar that he bartended at. Mm. And I don't know how much of it you want me to tell.
No, but... I'm gonna watch it. You want to save it? We'll save it. You know what? I'm gonna watch it tonight. We'll talk about it on Patreon. That's what we're going to do. Okay. I want to talk about this.
It's pretty much this story. It's not. I'm sorry. I lied and said this was a movie. This is not a movie. This is a limited series.
How many episodes would I be able to finish this?
It's like 8 episodes. And I want to say they're about 35 to 45 minutes, maybe.
Let me pull up my Netflix and we might talk about this next week. I can give y'all my first couple episodes. Baby reindeer, more info. Oh, they're short.
Yeah, it's listen, 7 episodes. They like 35 minutes. Yeah,
yeah. All right. The longest one is 45, and that's episode 4. That's 32, 27. Okay, I might be able to knock this out.
Let me tell you how every single one of the episodes feel like an hour. I was sitting here like, this is because it's deep. When you get to that one episode, child, you're gonna see some stuff. It is, the man was going through some stuff, okay? That's all I got. Like, his life, everything that leads up into meeting this woman and how this turns out in the end. Oh, my God. Yes, we're going to definitely have to discuss that show because me and my friend started watching it. And you know how you watch something, you're like, oh, I'm just laying down. And with every episode, we started to sit up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, you start sitting up on the show. We like, wait a minute now. So, yeah, it was a good watch. I don't want to give too much, but... You got to watch it.
I don't know if you saw this trending on Twitter. I didn't even see it on Twitter. I was listening to...
I don't see anything trending on Twitter because I don't be on Twitter.
I was listening to a podcast about gambling, even though I do not gamble. I told y'all about me gambling. And I just like the conversation that's going on. And at the end of the pod, this guy tells another person, look up Diddy and Carl Winslow. And I'm like, Diddy and Carl. And he's like, the guy from Family Matters? He's like, yeah. So I whip out my phone. And I'm like, let me put in Diddy and Carl Winslow. They posted that the quote attributed to Reginald Vail Johnson. I think that's how you pronounce his name. The dad on Family Matters. Mm-hmm. About him having sex with Diddy. And people ran with this. Because, all right. I was like, wait, what is going on here? And it was like from an Entertainment Tonight video, but it was a still photo. Because at first, when I saw it, I thought, oh, they're probably going to do like a deep fake or something like that. No, it was just a still photo. And then I went through the trending of it and saw that people were reacting to it and doing all this. And I was like, wait, this ain't no story. Because every morning I have to wake up, I grab my phone, and I go through my news feeds. And I'm like, this never came on my damn news feed. What the hell are they talking about? And I was just like, y'all just ran with this? And I was more shocked that the dude on the pod was just like, yo, go look up this. As if it was real. I don't know why I said it that way. Carl Winslow. It was just a still freaking picture. Yeah. And then like, if you could look up, there's a podcast of them reacting to it. I'm like, what? We can't be this dumb. Now we gotta be like, at least you need a second source, not just a still picture of. So yeah, here's what they did. Somebody did a still picture of Entertainment Tonight that says Reginald Vail Johnson sits down with ET Now to discuss his relationship with embattled hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs. Quote, if we play with each other's backsides, that's between us. I was never trafficked. I'm grown. And people ran with it. I said, what? All right, this is why I'm not here. Because I had to open up my phone, go to twitter.com and put this in. I'm like, y'all ran with this. This is y'all life now. All right.
Did you hear Quavo's diss?
Yes. I think, because we have not talked, because Chris Brown dropped on, it was like Saturday or Sunday or whatever, yeah. Or Friday, mm-hmm. And that was vicious. And then...
Listen, why do people like dropping these diss at night?
I don't know.
Cause but, what is it? I wake up at 6:30, 7 o'clock to a diss, and now I have to. So here's the thing, right? Cause I don't like to get up in the morning, so it's a struggle for me. Like I got to get up and go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have that time where I can just sit. But because like when I see that, I'm like, oh, now I'm fully in it. It's me sitting on the floor, knowing I need to be getting up and getting ready to leave my house. I have to now fully sit here and go through the disc. I'm so happy the first thing I pulled up had the lyrics. I was like, look at God. And not that I couldn't understand him, but like in this real time, I could listen to the song for the first time and read the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, listen to it. I'm like, okay, let's go, Chris. You don't want to smoke with me? I'm like, hey, we don't want to smoke. Chris started talking. I wish I caught myself live reacting, because I was listening and I'm bopping. And then he gets to the part, you know, he gets to the part where he kind of like speed rap a little bit, like he kind of hit the lines quicker. And I'm like, okay. And then he say like the little sweet and the T line. I was like, is he talking about sweetie?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you fucked up when he was what? Like this time, listen. So you get to the second half of it though, when he do the big, like, we wish it was you instead.
Yeah, for takeoff.
And I'm like, this is me literally, if you're looking at me. I'm like, no, Breezy, don't say that. Don't do
look
that.
Look at Regina Hall. When Regina Hall.
At Regina Hall, did for sure. I'm like, no, Breezy, you didn't. Like, I paused it.
Yeah.
And was like, no, Breezy, no, you didn't. So I get back to the song. He like, oh, no, don't say that. I'm like, see, you knew. You knew this is not something you were supposed to do. And I was like, but I can't even be mad at you because you stayed to the, like, you said what you said. My man was like, you're not going to be confused about this diss track. You're going to know it's about you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about you, Quavo. I'm talking about that nigga from Migos. I'm talking about you who used to fuck Saweetie. I'm talking about, you know, that other member, your nephew is what he was to him.
Yeah, I think nephew.
Then I was just like, Chris, Maurice Brown.
I said, Quavo got to fight him. Quavo, you got to fight this man. I'm just like, I'm sorry. Got
to
go.
Quavo came with a song. That's what's so crazy to me. Like, it sounds like a Migos song.
It does. He had Takeoff, some on her Takeoff verses or on the hook or whatever. We never heard. Cool.
And I haven't even heard the whole song. I keep hearing snippets.
I think what ends up happening is that I get frustrated that this beef seems to be over women. And I'm like, fam, how long is men going to do this? You don't have any ownership over women. All because after Chris Brown and Karrueche broke up, sometime after, Quavo and her had a romantic connection. Fine. But that bothers Chris Brown.
Were they ever friends?
I don't think so. Because I think there's been times where they've gotten into it before, but I don't think they were ever friends. So, cool, whatever. Chris Brown brings it up. Quavo comes back on Tinder with You Beat Up Women, and the Chris comes back with
elevator. I was like, Chris, you can't talk about him beating no women in no elevator, boy. You can't talk about that. Because all he got to do is talk about your situation with Rihanna and the way you was chasing after Karrueche.
And I think Quavo's misstep outside of, like, you know, fisticuffs was he was like, we're fighting over bitches and hoes. And I'm like, but why are they bitches and hoes? Y'all are the bitches and hoes because y'all fighting over them. They didn't do anything. I know there's rumors about Sweetie that she might have messed with Offset or Lil Baby or something like that. But we don't know any of this. So, like, when you come out the gate with bitches and hoes, you putting the focus on now, but they ain't got shit to do with any of this. And they not the reason why y'all beefing, because Chris could be by himself with this. If Quavo was that type of guy, better with words, he could have got on IG or whatever. It's like, fam, this dude mad because I messed with some woman he messed with 5-6 years ago. I ain't going back and forth with you. You look dumb. And moved on. And like, he could have won it in that way. But I think Chris Brown is a better rapper than Quavo. So I was like, you're going to lose this one in bars, and it doesn't help that Chris Brown's main talent is singing. So.
Yeah, listen. Is there nothing Chris Brown can't do?
Be faithful, maybe? I don't know.
You say what?
Be faithful? I don't know if Chris Brown can. Oh, man, we didn't even get into Neo. Oh, shit.
Because Chris Brown sings.
Yes.
Raps.
He dances. He can act.
Acts. Paint. Flip. Look, I don't know. What can't the man do? How does Chris song have like 1,000 songs in a catalog? Like, sir, what do you do in the house all day? Nothing but make songs?
Yeah, that bothers me. That's a whole nother topic about you. Like, I feel like artists nowadays don't respect our time. Like, I haven't got to this Taylor Swift album yet because it's 31 damn songs. I guess I can go listen to the one with this alleged Kim Kardashian disc. But I was like, that's a long time to sit through. And I'm going to do it because I'm not waiting till next year to go through if we get nominated for a Grammy to sit through 31 songs. And I'll just break it up into two parts.
I'm not. First of all, why do you have a 31-song album? You sound crazy. I'm not even listening to 27 songs of Beyonce.
Chris Brown did 55? What was it?
Yeah, on that CD. I still ain't listened to that entire CD. You are mad.
I was so mad. What was the one? Let's look up this man's discography before we get out of here. There was one we had to review. Heartbreak on a Full Moon. I remember that was the last one I did because I think my brother listened to Indigo and Breezy in 11-11. I was done after that one because there was too many songs. What's this track list look like? 18, 23, plus another 12. Something like 30-something on here. So that might not have been the longest one. There's another one in here. Is it Indigo? Were you like, fam? Yeah, Indigo has, yes. Indigo has like 40-something tracks.
You sound foolish.
I was like,
I'm not doing it.
Disc one has 15. Disc two has 16 to 33, so 18. And then there's an extended version with another 10. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Respect my time. And all that shit can't be fire. I'm sorry. Ain't no way.
That part.
And my whole thing with Heartbreak, it never makes sense for me for R&B singers to do this. And more so, maybe it leads to rap. Because R&B singers usually make two types of songs. It is either songs for the summer, spring/summer, or songs for the fall. So I was like, you could break this up to cuffing season and hunting season, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And you could have dropped it. Yo, this one dropping in June. The next one going to drop in October. And you're going to listen to them all together and they're going to fit the seasons. So I was like, I get mad when R&B singers do that. All right. That is the episode. You can tweet me at one and only. You can tweet Shell.
As I say, you can follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on a snappy chat at iMeals with the Z Shell.
Make sure you follow the website, 1515 app. Check out the podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Support on Patreon. Until next time, guys. I say peace, she says.
Bye.